Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. My voice is about normal now, so thank you, Jesus. We have Father Charles Muir because it's a Monday. And
Terry. And Father, congratulations for getting your voice back.
Yeah, I got it all 100% back. I'm ready to call the balls and the strikes at the ball game.
Great.
Father, we've got a special program. Always special, but you've got some surprises for us. Good news surprises I'm hearing and other good things. I also want to bring up your friend and my friend, Bishop Joseph Strickland, slams the crescendo of apostasy by Vatican forces against Catholic liturgy and doctrine. If that's not a headline, wow.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Came out hard. And, you know, I want to also bring up some things that are unfortunate, but it's a fruit of modernism. This is my comment. 40 out of 61 Catholic parishes in the city of Baltimore are slated to be closed within the year. Now, this Baltimore was known, 100 years ago as just a seat of Catholicism. I mean, there's some beautiful churches there. You've been there, right? I've been there many times.
Sure.
And so what's going on with that? Well, we're going to talk about that because this is not the only diocese. I've been, Gary, Indiana. I remember Mike Wick, a friend of mine who was working for the diocese. They were just selling churches off to any bidder that would bid, $10,000, $15,000. Take it, it's yours. And this is
unreal,
the fruit, again,
unreal.
Of not proclaiming the truths of the faith. They just fall apart. And one more thing that I thought was, when I see lay people stand up for morality, it always inspires me. I don't know about you, Father, as a priest, but DeSantis, the governor of Florida, says Satanists cannot be part of the school chaplain program. And the Satanic Temple responses, they're going to sue the state of Florida. But he said, look, common sense says we should have Christians there in our schools to help the kids. Now, education is just not heady. They need spirituality. But the Satanist is not part of what we're looking for here, and they're not welcome to come. Now, for him,
the Satanists and satanic worship are exactly part of the problem.
Yes, exactly.
A major part of it.
You got it. And much, much more today. So let's get to the gospel of Monday, 29th of April. It's the gospel of John, chapter 14, 21 to 26. Father, could you be so good to read the gospel?
Certainly. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to thee.
Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Mm. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling within him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
praise
Lord,
to
Jesus,
you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, this is, this is a great gospel. To tell you the truth, sometimes the Gospel of St. John just drove me. It doesn't anymore, but it used to drive me crazy.
No kidding.
Parts of it, because it seemed like we were going in circles around and around and around.
Uh-huh.
I've gotten over that. And I'm understanding what John is trying to do. Mm-hmm. We're so thick-headed that John is saying everything two and three times to get it through once. Right? That's the idea. But here's something that's very important, Terry. Right? It's in the last line of this gospel.
Mm-hmm.
The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, mm-hmm. whom the Father will send in my name.
Yeah,
he will teach you everything.
Amen.
And remind you of all that I taught you.
Mm-hmm.
Right, well, what is that? That's the magisterium of the church. This is exactly why we cannot change what has always been taught.
Amen.
Because it comes from the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
This is fruit of the Holy Spirit to the first the church during the first century, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, 19th, and 20th, and into the 21st.
Amen.
This is everything that Christ taught. And what he's saying to his apostles, everything that I taught you, which is a lot, and we have John also and the other evangelists saying, mm-hmm. we couldn't possibly write everything that Christ wrote told us in one book.
Right.
Wouldn't fit. What our Lord is saying is, everything that I taught you will be given to you again, reminded you by the Holy Ghost. This is exactly why the magisterium is so important. It's intrinsic to our faith. We hold that everything that we hold by the magisterium that is taught to us is what Christ himself taught to the apostles. This is why we say in the creed, for example, that we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
Yeah.
That the church is based on, built upon the apostles. Everything that we have was taught to the apostles by Christ, and we are reminded of it through the Holy Ghost. This is fantastic.
Absolutely.
And this is given to us as a guarantee by Christ himself.
Yes.
You know, we were talking a little bit, well, maybe I shouldn't get into that before the break.
All right, because we got a break coming up in a minute.
Before we started the program, you and I were talking about some things, which we'll get into later.
Absolutely.
But this very much connects with why people are attracted to the Catholic Church.
Exactly.
And to the Catholic faith.
Yeah.
They're attracted to it because it's the real deal.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember,
you know, that's it.
I remember many converts saying, why did I become a Catholic? Because it's the truth. And I thought,
yes, it's the truth.
Exactly. I thought
it's that simple.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
It's awesome. Well, let's bring the smartest guy into the room before we have a quick full Sheen ahead. And it seems like Bishop Sheen has his pulse, has his finger on the pulse of America, even though he's been dead almost 45 years. He says this: modern man is uncertain of his destiny. Oh, yeah, that's for sure. He's always afraid of being thrown back into his nothingness from which he came. The result is dread. Much of the modern culture is directed to the suppression of that dread. Sleeping tablets, opiates, consistent search for pleasure. All these attempts to suppress this awful gnawing dread of nothingness. You know, he nailed it. I've met so many people who said, I've tried everything. I've wined women in song. I've been wealthy. I've been poor. And I'm still not happy. And I always tell them, well, have you tried God? Have you, you know, who created you? Give me a break, dude. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you went through the list. Let's keep going. Don't give up. So, Bishop Sheen's
Terry, it's like
yeah,
the
man.
People who tell you,
yeah.
It's like, and I love listening to this. I hear it often.
Yeah.
For example, a husband who's divorcing his wife.
Yeah.
Right. He'll say to you, "My children are everything to me."
Oh, yeah, right.
I love my children unconditionally.
Uh-huh.
And I always say the same thing. Well, I say, evidently you don't.
Right.
I mean, evidently there
Think
is a condition you're putting on it because you don't love their mother and you're not going to stay with her and you're ruining their lives. So evidently your love for your children is not unconditional.
Yeah.
There is a condition to it, right?
Exactly. And you,
No,
you're right.
Where am I going with this? I started saying something.
No, but you're spot on because the culture says that. Don't worry, the kids will get over it. Do your thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's the unholy trinity, me, myself.
Well, they won't get over it.
No,
they won't get over it. They'll never get over it.
That's a fact.
And we fool ourselves by saying that. But your point, the point that you brought up made earlier, that they've tried everything but God.
Yeah.
They try everything but God. They'll get into narcotics.
Oh, yeah.
They'll get into this. They'll get into psychotherapy.
Oh, yeah.
They'll do anything but try God. And it's the crazy thing is that God is the only answer.
Yep. Yep.
Well, he's not one of them. He's not one of the multiple answers. He's the only one.
Right.
Because he is the truth.
And that's why we have to just proclaim the teachings of the of Christ so clearly, because when we are ambiguous about the truth, it brings doubt among people. What do the Catholic Church really teach? And this is my big gripe for the last hundreds of years, well, at least the last 60 years, is that the church and the shepherds have not done a clear job on teaching and articulating positive
faith.
No,
they have not.
And you know what, Father? I read this yesterday, and I'm reading it to you right now. Because Bishop Strickland got in trouble over this. St. Paul, John Paul the 23rd, when he opened up the Second Vatican Council, he said, the greatest concern, this is his opening statement, my greatest concern of the Ecumenical Council is this, that the sacred deposit of Christian doctrine should be guarded and taught more efficaciously, that doctrine embraces the whole of man, composed as he is body and soul, and since he is a pilgrim on this earth, it commands him to tend always towards heaven. Has that been implemented? No. That's my point.
Well, yeah, but after I hear those words, yeah. He might have thought twice about even calling
the council. Because, yeah, obviously, what was going on there. Stay with us, family. Yeah. We're going to come right back. Carrie and Jesse show. Father Charles Murr is here. It's a Monday, and we have much more to share with you about the person of Jesus Christ. Stay with us, family. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr and I are having a conversation at a restaurant, and you're here joining us, and I love it. Father, I talked before
and
you.
And yet, no hamburgers, Terry.
No hamburgers. No. I'm a burrito guy. Father, question. We talked before the show about all these famous people recently are coming into the Catholic faith. Candace Owen, she announced that she's joined the Catholic Church. I just wanted to publicly say I welcome her and others who are coming in. And it's kind of interesting that she's standing next to Father Julian Large over at the Prompton Oratory in London, England, which is known for its traditional mass.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
I'm just saying, just a coincidence, but it seems like there's some consistency with high-profile people going, you know, I really like the Latin mass. Is there a connection there, or am I just... You know.
There absolutely is, Terry. There absolutely is. And let me second what you just got done saying. Mm-hmm. Candace Owens is one of the sharpest young minds that I've ever heard in a debate. Mm-hmm. She's amazing. You know what? We used to have debate teams. I think they've still got
they
them.
They still have them. Yeah, I think so.
What? And I used to love listening to them. I never belonged to one.
Okay.
I always threatened to belong to one, but I'd ruin it for everybody.
That's funny.
But I love to listen to the back and forth. And she, Candace, has everything at her fingertips.
Yeah.
It is amazing. I don't know how in the world. Every thought is organized.
Yes.
Fantastic. Now, when I heard that her husband converted to Catholicism.
Yeah.
Also a brilliant man. His name, I'm sorry, is escaping me. Not because he's not brilliant and famous, but because I'm old and dumb.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, keep going. I'm going to get his name because it's
anyway. But the point is this: everybody that I'm knowing right now who's converting to the faith,
yes,
is involved to a great degree in the Latin Tridentine Mass.
Mm-hmm.
This is what attracts them. Isn't that a funny thing, Terry?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
This is what attracts people. Why?
Beauty.
Because it's more in tune with the truth.
Yeah.
And the Novus Ordo Mass, the way it's celebrated, at least by so many priests, it's a shame. Yeah. It's a shame the way it's celebrated. But it doesn't seem any way connected with truth.
Yeah.
It seems more connected with the Shrine Circus.
Entertainment. George.
Well, entertainment, the United States of entertainment. But those who are seeking the truth find it this way, and they find it through what has never changed.
Yeah.
This is the whole idea that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
This is This is very much in relation with the last sentence of the gospel we just finished
Yeah,
reading,
there you go.
that Christ promised to send the Holy Ghost precisely to remind his apostles and their descendants of what he himself taught them.
Yeah.
Well, this is it. This is in connection with that. I've got to tell you, too.
Tell me.
Candace is fantastic. LeBeuf also was
he played Padre Pio,
surprise.
For those who don't remember him.
Yeah.
He also
yeah,
he was
another surprise. Fantastic.
And what got him into the faith, Father? Wasn't it trying to play the role of Padre Pio and saw the old Trinitine Mass?
He saw the Trinitine Mass that Padre Pio was
right.
offering
yes.
daily.
Yes.
And it seemed so mysterious to him
yes.
only because it is.
Yeah, right.
It is a mystery. Only because it is mysterious.
Yeah.
And he started his own inquiry,
yeah.
his own investigation
yeah.
into that mass, and found it to be as mysterious as it purported to be. And he fell in love with it.
Yeah.
That this is amazing. I'll never forget the embarrassing George Farmer. George Farmer
yeah, right.
is Candace Owens' husband. Yes. Also a brilliant young man, brilliant, a joy to listen to. I've heard him on a couple of interviews. But anyway, LeBeuf was taken with Padre Pio, and through that, through Padre Pio studying his character, got to know the Mass. And I'll never forget the interview that he had with Bishop Barron.
I did too. I watched it. Yep.
Yeah, do you remember Barron's? I should
his
say
mouth
his
dropped.
Face.
Yeah, I do exactly. Trinity. What? That was.
That's all, folks. Yeah, it was great. It was great. It was great. But the thing is, this too. I've got to tell you this. I've got some good news too.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Yesterday, a young man who I knew and know comes from a family with no faith, with no faith background, American. This young man, he must be about 25, 26 years old now. He is what every father and mother would like as a son.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating.
Incredible.
Super responsible. And you know what, Terry?
Tell us.
To the ranch. I call it the ranch in
yeah.
Seville.
Yeah.
There isn't anything the kid can't do.
Really? Wow.
I mean, nothing. Electric, plumbing, this, or the, anything. And what he can't do, he learns. I said very little about religion
yeah.
when he was here. Very little. Yeah. I answered his questions, a few questions he asked, but I'm not about to push religion
right.
onto anyone.
Right.
They either see something in me that they like,
right?
Which is maybe an optimism,
exactly.
Or they see something in somebody else that they like, and we've attracted them through our craziness,
exactly.
to the faith,
mm-hmm.
right? That's how people get to know the faith, through other people. Anyway, the long and the short of it is, this young man, brilliant, 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 very serious. Yesterday, I got a call from him that he was baptized.
What?
In San Francisco.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh. That's fantastic.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Very serious. Doesn't talk an awful lot.
Yeah.
But what he says is very serious. But he called to tell me that he had just been baptized.
Incredible.
And this was fantastic. Fantastic news. But also in one of the most traditional parishes still going.
Yeah.
Right?
It wasn't
with the traditional Mass and all. So I mean, this has got to be driving people in Rome especially crazy.
Well, you know what? Let me just add on to this question. It seems
sure.
to me that when the Holy Father, July 16th, I forget which year, maybe 3-4 years ago, put out that pronouncement that he would put restrictions on the Trinitine Mass, it seems like it's really obvious it backfired. It's almost like like you can't do this.
Backfired is putting it lightly.
Well, I was trying to be gentle. It's actually explosion. It's an explosion
yes.
of masses
yes.
that took place now because of the restrictions.
I
think that that is the case. Am I off on that, or doesn't it make sense?
No, and I think there's something else. There's another connection to our favorite person, Fulton J. Sheen.
Oh yeah,
who said that this was going to be the time of the laity.
Yeah.
Well, this is the laity
who's
looking for this.
That's right.
It's not really the clergy that's pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the laity that are pushing the clergy to get with it.
Exactly.
I think this is fantastic.
Well,
it elates me.
I'm going to predict, and this is something very interesting. Maybe you already know this, but the movie, you were in this video, The Mass of Ages, right?
Oh, yes,
okay. Now,
yes, yes.
Did you know that they also have a video teaching priests how to say the Tridentine Mass? Are you aware of that? And that over four...
How do you think I learned?
Well, of course, I would imagine somebody taught you.
Look, there's, for any priest who's listening or deacon,
yeah,
it wasn't through the Mass of the Ages because I started before that,
yeah,
a few years before that. First of all, I had a head start because I was an altar boy,
yeah,
and served the Tridentine Mass, so
right.
I knew what it was.
Sure,
but also there was a tape that came out.
Keep
I
the
think
faith. It was Keep the Faith.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. It was a videotape.
Yes.
I think by St. Thomas Seminary.
Okay.
All right, and in Kansas, is it?
Could
not
be.
Sure.
Could be.
Virginia, Kansas. I'm not sure, but anyway, a priest, a German priest, a young German priest.
Oh, I didn't
priest.
See that one. No, that's not the one I saw. Okay.
It was exquisite.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic, and he explained every motion, every particular,
yeah.
every gesture.
Mm-hmm.
It brought it to life, and I kept watching that, and followed the rubrics in a missal, and paid attention to what I was doing, and in no time I was fluent in the Tridentine Mass.
Well, Father,
it was very beautiful. I mean, there are so many aids.
Yeah, there are. But here's the kicker
learning.
On this. The kicker is bishops around this country in America are the ones who are signing up to learn this Mass. So this tells me this tells me that they're waiting.
Incredible.
Are you ready for this? This is my take. You tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I think they see, hey, look, the end of the pontificate of Pope Francis, and that this will be removed, and they're going to be ready to implement it. So
that's, you're absolutely correct.
Okay.
You're absolutely correct. That's what's going to happen. Now, I've got to tell you something else.
Tell me.
A neat piece of news.
Good.
Yesterday,
yeah.
Yesterday, a group of young students,
yeah,
university age,
yes,
in Mexico,
okay,
contacted me.
What? Mexico, yeah.
And asked, could I please be their chaplain?
Oh my.
For a group, the group of that they're trying to learn their catechism, and they want to learn the early church fathers.
Oh my gosh.
And at the end, and you know, I just got done telling you, Terry, I don't push.
No, I know you don't. I know you're
sometimes not. I pull a little bit.
Yeah, like Fulton Sheen.
Sometimes
pull,
I pull.
Yeah, I get it.
But I don't push. I don't push. And at the end, they're great. I mean, these are great young people.
Yes.
They're alive. They're awake. And at the end, they ask for my blessing. And we had about an hour conversation. There were quite a few of them. We talked quite openly.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, they asked my blessing. I said, sure, I'll give you my blessing, absolutely. Dominus vobiscum.
Mm-hmm.
And they all
responded.
You know, you've got these,
yeah,
little things, that these little squares with all these faces, like,
yeah,
it's like what was it, the Hollywood squares or something?
Yeah, yeah, no, I get it.
All of them together answered, et cum spiritu tuo.
Wow.
I just went,
that
oh,
surprised you.
And then one of them, the leader, said, does that surprise you, Father? We that's all we attend is the Latin Mass.
Wow.
I can't believe it.
Well,
this is fantastic. And then, Terry,
tell me.
And then,
tell me.
Another group of kids from my orphanage.
Oh, wow. From years
ago.
Wow.
Contacted me. Would I help them with understanding the Latin Mass? And I said, absolutely.
Incredible.
That is fantastic. But it's incredible. It is incredible.
Well,
I've never pushed or pulled on that issue.
I love it. Well, just on the side, I've got an old Baltimore Catechism video that has captions in Spanish that it might be invaluable to teach those kids the basics. Wow. This is the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Murd telling us stories about young men who have a great love for the Catholic faith. Stay with us. We'll be back with more. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Don't you love Father Charles Murr telling stories about young people who have a great love for the faith? It's inspirational.
You know, I feel like, remember Jimmy Durante?
Oh, yeah, of course. I love that man.
One of his famous lines was, "I got a million of them."
Yeah, that's right. And you actually, you said it really close to how he said it. "I got a million of them." That was good.
Ha-cha-cha-cha.
Yeah, exactly. Father, you know, here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio, we have 2 hours of Bishop Strickland a week talking about the faith. He's been writing letters trying to alert people to the dangers of modernism. I'll just say it that way. And his latest letter he wrote, he said, "Too many prelates and powerful forces in the Vatican are doing their best to dismantle every vestige of supernatural faith." And I say that, I'll never forget 4 or 5 years ago, he was at a bishop's conference, and right in front of his brother bishops, I thought, well, this took guts. This was before I knew him. I thought, who is this guy?
Yeah.
He goes to his brothers and says, "Brothers, what do we actually believe about the Holy Eucharist? Do we believe," he asked him, "that you believe in the that this is the actual body, blood, and soul and divinity of Jesus Christ? Do we or do we not?" And I'm like, I was shocked that he would ask these guys. I understand now why he was removed, because he was exposing some things that were going on. Yeah,
exactly. Because he was on fire with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he talked about it. He said, "It is imperative that we also acknowledge this tendency of the church to be dominated by the fragile clay of the world." Boy, do we have that right now. He said this, "More than one papacy is seriously implemented in the lack of the supernatural faith necessary in order to push back against the tidal wave of this apostasy." He said, "The oath against modernism, promulgated by Pope St. Pius X, was the best papal attempt to oppose the dominance of this fragile clay. And since his death, support for this has weakened." Well, it's on our website. We actually have had it on our website from the first day that we started VMPR. But he said, "Until now, it's been all discarded, like so many other aspects of this intention, and did not get promoted because of the cozy relationship the church has with the world." Now, Father, he's using some strong language to criticize prelates, high prelates.
Yes.
I know you read this. He said, "As devastating as it all is, and the mission of the Bride of Christ is the salvation of souls." He says this, "We face an even greater challenge in this mission in our own times." And here it comes. "Too many prelates not only exhibit a lack of supernatural faith on their part, but they are also," and he used the word, "hell-bent on eliminating every vestige of supernatural faith in the church. This has been building momentum over the many decades, but we must open our eyes to the crescendo apostasy that we are now witnessing." He's telling us the truth, but it's not very convenient for a lot of people in the church. And I would imagine, Father Murr, after reading this letter, that you probably would say, that's a brave man.
Oh, no, there's no question about it. First of all, I think he's one of the finest bishops that I've ever met.
Wow, that's saying a lot.
And I've met quite a few, believe me.
Yeah.
But I think he's so sincere and so on the message.
Yeah.
He doesn't steer from the message. It's quite simple and quite straightforward. And he has the manhood to pronounce it and loudly.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And it's,
look, I've got to tell you something that he was talking about, the apostasy.
Yes, let's talk about that.
Apostasy. All right. I've told you this before and on this program.
Yeah.
That Mother Pasqualina, Pius XII secretary for 42 years,
yep,
told me, and I wrote it in my book, The Godmother.
Yes.
She told me that Pius XII was out for a constitutional. We used to call them constitutionals. A walk.
Exactly.
A health walk.
Yeah,
constitutional.
That's an old
I remember the old people saying, "Yes, I'm going out for my constitutional." I thought they were going to come back with a document of something.
Exactly.
Signed by the founding fathers. But anyway, he went for a walk in the Vatican Gardens, which he did almost daily. And he was struck frozen.
Yeah.
And he had a vision of the dancing sun,
Wow.
of the son of Fatima,
Yes.
dancing from all over the sky
Right.
and coming down to earth and going back. He saw the miracle of the son of Fatima
Wow.
in 1954. It was given to him to see that. When he came back into the house, Mother Pasqualina is telling me this herself. He came back into the house shaken.
I bet.
Shaken, shaken, shaken. And he finally explained to her what had happened and what he had seen. And she asked a curious question. She said, was there any message given in that? I mean, besides the great miracle of seeing, re-seeing Fatima.
Right.
Miracle of the sun. He said, only one word. Remember, this is 1954. The people who are alive today who remember 1954, I'm one of them.
I'm not.
There were no problems, Terry.
Yeah, I hear you.
And if there were, we certainly didn't see them.
Right.
The only problem that the church had in 1954 was a problem of space. We needed more schools, more classrooms,
oh, yeah.
more everything, more churches.
Yep.
We were building like crazy. That was the problem. So this is 1954.
Yep.
What is the one word that Pius the 12th heard?
The A word.
In the miracle of the sun?
Yeah.
Apostasy.
Unbelievable.
Apostasy.
Yeah.
One
yep.
word.
Yeah.
Apostasy. And Mother Pasqualina herself said to me, as when he said that, she said, I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
But after we finished, I ran to a dictionary.
Sure.
She said, I wasn't sure that it meant what I thought it might mean,
mm-hmm.
because nobody used that word. Nobody talked about an apostasy.
Right.
It was so far removed from what we were living.
Yes.
And she said, yes, she understood what it was, the loss of faith.
Yes.
Now, this is at a time when the faith was highest in the world.
Exactly.
It just really was.
Yeah, over 80% of the people were going to Sunday Mass.
Absolutely.
Vocations
absolutely.
Were up, were booming.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm just going to give you my take, because I've studied this. The Fatima message has been one of my studies for all my adult life. I'm convinced, from what I can tell, that third secret of Fatima has to deal with the apostasy, because I look at what
yes.
took place in my own lifetime, and I say, well, what else could you call it? What else? So the facts are the facts. Look at how devastated the church is. Look at how devastated. When for 40 years, I've been going up and down the country giving talks and meeting people and putting on conferences, and I ask people all the time in churches, what do you believe about the Holy Eucharist? 90% of the people cannot articulate what the church teaches about the Holy Eucharist. Now, if that's not an apostasy, I don't know what would be.
And you know, Terry, there's something else too to that apostasy. The apostasy is coming. Note the difference. It's not a persecution that people have lost the faith during for persecution.
Right.
Many people in the first centuries and later on lost the faith because they wanted to survive. They wanted to live.
Exactly.
So they gave up the faith. That's a persecution.
Right.
An apostasy comes from within.
Exactly.
It's from within. And what we're seeing today
yes.
is not only within, it is within in caps.
Yes.
It is the church herself
right.
who is promoting the apostasy. This is incredible.
Yeah.
It's really incredible. It's diabolical.
It is. It is. It is.
We have a lot of people who have to answer for an awful lot of things. I've got my own sins to answer for.
Sure.
You've got yours.
Amen.
But I'm thankful that I don't have to answer for having destroyed the Catholic faith.
Well, and this
and,
is
and a lot of people do.
And this is why I say Bishop Strickland is this light right now in the church. And I'm convinced that knowing him quite well over the years, that he's just going to continue to proclaim the deposit of faith in season and out. And he's not really worried. I really mean that. He's like, hey, worst thing they can do is kill me. So that's it. You know, I'm just like, next.
They already tried and failed.
Yeah. So I just think, I think he inspires lay people. I'm sure he inspires priests too, to stand up for the truth.
He inspires an awful lot of priests. Every priest that I know, even priests who do not speak English,
really,
he inspires. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I've talked to Italian priests, Spaniards, Frenchmen.
Yeah.
Everyone is inspired by what he's doing. They can almost not believe it when they compare him to their own bishops.
Well, I'm going to give you one bishop.
And you know, Terry, let me finish on this. One last thing for Strickland, because I think
It's worth it.
You can't say enough good about him because the man is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But he reminds me, he's the closest thing that I could tell people to Saint Athanasius.
Wow.
When they want to know who Saint Athanasius was and what look at Strickland.
Yeah.
Because he stays on message. Yeah. He stays on message.
Yeah.
He wants to get through these points, and that's all. He doesn't go over here, over there. This is it. And it's the central message of the Catholic faith.
Yes.
He is a Saint Athanasius for our day, truly.
Well said. Now, when we come back, I'm going to give another bishop in Michigan, I think, was inspired by Bishop Strickland, because he did something last week that took some guts to do. I'll tell you when we come back from the break. But also, I want to give a plug right now before I forget, the show's over, to Father Charles Murr's books that he's published. The best way, I think, to get it is just go charlesmurr.com on their website, right, Father? And all those books are available.
Well, I said that the name sounded familiar when you began.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's me. That's right.
No, that's funny. I'm thinking, what? Of course it's you. But
I want to give a plug to, and I'm listening. Yeah, go ahead.
CharlesMurr.com.
Yes.
Yeah, check it out, because there's a lot of good books that should inspire you. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about a bishop in Michigan who had the courage to say something very true. And
I want to hear this.
He was persecuted. And I got to believe that, I mean, I watched the video of him giving a speech, and it really wasn't that big a deal. He was just saying the sky is blue. And you can't say that.
Oh, reality, huh?
Yeah, that's what he said. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Father Charles Murr is here. We have the feast day of St. Catherine of Siena today on this feast. And, you know, it seems appropriate. We're talking about Bishop Strickland. We're talking about bishops standing up. Father, what's your take on St. Catherine of Siena and her own time? What did she do that inspired so many people today to even pray to her and also ask her intercession at this time of history in our church?
Brilliant woman in first place.
Mm-hmm.
In the first place.
Yep.
A mystic.
Yes.
Her experiences were amazing. Mm-hmm. Some of the miracles that she brought about in her own lifetime were amazing and witnessed. But she also... she also talked the Pope into leaving Avignon
and
coming back to Rome.
That's right.
And restarting, recommencing order in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And Terry, she did this without being a deaconess.
Yeah, that's cute. Exactly.
And she wasn't even a priestess.
Yeah, she called the Pope back. She was really a bold woman. Yeah.
But she was bold, Terry, but she also had right reason. She had a fantastic...
Oh, yeah.
Ability to reason correctly.
Yeah.
And that gets everybody's attention, reason.
I agree. Well, I gave a teaser at the end of the break, the last break, about a Michigan bishop who he's called Joe Biden stupid. His name is Bishop Robert Gruce. He was right in saying that Joe Biden's a man who has supported abortion for decades, presided over homosexual weddings. These are all facts, and doesn't know what it means to be Catholic. Now, I don't see a need to do any apology to that because without knowledge, when you say someone is stupid, look it up. Stupid means without knowledge. And so he's being gentle with the president of the United States. He's assuming he doesn't know. Now, I don't know. Only God would know the mind of and the soul of Joe Biden. But objectively speaking, the man is opposed to much of what the Catholic faith teaches. And so this is the good part of the story. He called him out But the bad part of the story is this: pressure from the church, liberal Catholicism, and I would imagine it doesn't say in the article that it was a bishop or somebody above him said, you need to apologize for saying that. Now, I know, Father Murray, you've been in situations where people superior to you have told you need to not do what you just did, and you have to be corrected by saying, I didn't mean to say that, or you can come back and get your job or whatever. The point of it is, I feel bad that the bishop did apologize, saying what I said was imprudent. I just don't see that. But Father Murr, you probably hadn't heard this story. It was only 2 weeks ago, but it came out now and saying that, the pressure from the liberal church in the Catholic Church is saying, you can't say that about Joe Biden. And I'm saying, this is my take, and I'll turn it over to you. Why are we afraid to call people back to the Catholic faith and saying, you know, what you're doing is endangering your soul and you need to repent and believe in the gospel, which Mark says. So my question to you, Father Murr, is what made this guy, what do you think would stop him from sticking to his guns? Do you think there'd be pressure from maybe bishops above him, cardinals above him, maybe even the Vatican? What's your take on this?
There's a song I heard years ago, Terry.
Here it comes.
It goes like this.
Yeah.
Oh, money, 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 money. It's a world go round.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard that song.
Money,
yeah.
Money, money, money.
Mm-hmm.
Look, that he was called to apologize.
That's what he was told.
For saying something correct.
Yes, but that's
for
happened to a lot of priests. Yes, it's happened.
For putting something out that may affect what's left of the man, of the poor man's mind.
Yes.
It's some reaction that he come back to the Catholic faith before he dies in a perilous state.
Yep.
But it wasn't Biden who asked for the apology.
No, it wasn't Biden.
It was his brother bishops.
Exactly. You can't say that. We get our funding.
And my point with the money thing, Terry.
Is
I wish somebody would do a really good examination on this and come up with some facts and figures of how much the American bishops get from different collections of the United States government.
Oh, that's all I'm saying. Yeah. Well, you know what?
And therefore we've got to apologize.
Well,
what we
I can what, still what, yeah. I can still memorize the video I saw on YouTube of the bishops at their meeting, and they were being somewhat critical of the administration. And the bishop who does the secretary of the treasurer said, gentlemen, I must interject here. You must remember about 60% of our budget comes from Uncle Sam. So let's be careful what we say.
Let's be careful what we believe, Terry.
And you've heard the term "follow the money," right? Follow the money.
That was part of the song I was singing.
Yeah,
that's it.
So there you have it. Now, Father Murr, I wanted to also bring up something that
I'll probably get in trouble for that, Terry.
That's okay. Well, you know what? We're rounding third base. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, you got it,
Father. This is something that you've spent a lot of years in California. This is an example of people pushing back. And I think this is what's happening now. The wokeness of the culture is being pushed by people of goodwill, not even Catholics, but people of goodwill. California lawmakers withdraw a bill to expand assisted suicide following a backlash, meaning that good people of goodwill said to the government of California, no, you don't. You do that and you're done. And so I just think this is an example of how good people... You know, in the old story, how does evil abound when good people do nothing? It seems to me that, and I could be wrong, but not only in the church, but in the culture, we're waking up a sleeping giant. It seems to me that people are waking up to say, all this wokeness and all this, I mean, reality to say, I want to change, you know, my sex, become a man when I'm a woman. Is such nonsense. I mean, look at this, Father. You probably hadn't heard this, but in Germany, the parliament, okay, so these are people with brains, okay? They passed a law allowing minors to change their legal gender once a year. Now, is this microphone on? I mean, are we just saying, are we living in, I mean, I know, that's what I said. I laughed hard. I said, wait a minute, let me read that again. It says, A new self-identification law proposed by a German left-wing government coalition will allow anyone to change his or her legal gender once a year by simply filling out a form. Now, what is that?
Well, Terry, but Terry, we're in such a conundrum.
Yeah.
That I don't know how to take that.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it so that you can encourage people to make the transformation once a year, or discourage them from doing it too often?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
this is how crazy we are, and yeah. The place we're at. It's ridiculous.
It's a weird world. But here's the point. This is why and this goes right back to what we started in the show. Why are people coming to the Catholic faith? Are you kidding me? What's the alternative?
It's the truth.
The alternative is this nonsense.
Yeah.
And so I just think that if we as a church would just show our goods, you know what I mean? Just live out our goods of the faith, this will attract people in itself.
A great psychologist by the name of Sullivan. And turned out he was a Jesuit priest. I didn't know that. But okay. I read his writings. On adolescent psychology.
Okay.
And I got a chance to talk to him. And during the conversation, he was at Fairfield.
Yeah.
I realized that he was a Catholic priest and a Jesuit. Anyway, but his contribution was that I asked him, give me the definition of adolescence. And he said, well, it's a period of life that begins maybe 11, usually 12, 13. Mm-hmm. And he said, are we talking about the United States of America? I said, yes. He said, ends about 45.
Wow.
I said, you're joking. He said, oh, I've never been more serious.
Wow.
He said, because affluence arrests development.
Exactly.
Well, this is that arresting development means arresting the realization of reality. It slows down your capacity to be real about life. When we say somebody is mature, what we're saying is that he or she understands reality and can deal with reality like an adult is supposed to be. We don't have that anymore.
No,
we have teenagers who are 60 years old running around.
Yes.
Therefore, you and wokeness. And all of the thing with sex changing and everything else, which cannot be done, by the way, it simply can't. You can amputate parts of your body, but you're not going to change
it. DNA stays the same, buddy.
Yep. That's it. But the point is with that is it's not dealing with reality.
Right.
Let's play pretend. Let's keep playing pretend.
Yeah.
And this is what's ruining the country.
And
Terry, it is making us the laughing stock of the world, of the world.
And I got to believe Satan is behind a lot of this confusion.
You think so?
Yeah, I got to believe, because
he does everything
the
opposite. You know so. Yeah,
a black mass has done just the opposite. So this fits his MO, to have people distracted so much about life that it's all about me, myself, and I. And then at the time of their death, the devil says, you're mine.
What did our blessed Lord say? When you take an oath, or you promise something, or give your word,
right?
Say yes when it is yes, and no when it is no. That's that simple. We can't do that. We say no when the devil's take on that is exactly the contrary. Yes. Say no when it's yes, and yes when it's no.
Yes, very good, Father.
This is exactly.
We're at the end of our show. I want to just give a couple recommendations for our listeners. Continue to study your faith. Continue to live your faith. And I say study. Here I am, 67 years old, and I still go to my catechism. I still get to the Bible. I'm reading. I'm learning about my faith. It seems that this is a lifetime occupation, because as you get older, I'm realizing I know little. I know very little, because there's just so much to learn. Your thoughts?
Terry, I'm going to do this is not a plug for my book.
Yeah. No.
But I happen to produce a book.
Yeah.
It's called Lo Esencial. It's in Spanish.
Oh, okay.
It is a Baltimore catechism in Spanish.
Awesome.
It's what the thing, and it's good. And people are waking up to learning their faith and learning their catechism.
And people get that on your website at Father Charles Murray.
They can, but the point is, point is, it's a catechism. I started a catechism for prisoners.
Yes.
In prison.
Wonderful.
And now it's being bought by and used by people in
of course.
Homeschooling.
I tell you
Spanish.
Something. How about a quick blessing before we run?
Benedicat vos omnipotens Deus Pater, Filius et Spiritus Sanctus. Amen.
Thank you, Father Charles Murr, for joining us here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You can listen to all the shows by going to vmpr.org. Pass them on to your friends and family. That's how the word gets out on us here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Don't forget, Our Lady of Fatima said souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices. Let's pray for more conversions of people to the Catholic faith. God bless you and your family.